Hare Krishna everyone, welcome. We are reading today from Srimad Bhagavatam, Canto 9, Chapter 20, verse number 17 to 21. I'm going to read 17 to 21 and then we can sing together the last one, the 21 verse. I will read the English translation, 70 to 21st, and then we will follow the Sanskrit and English verse. So text number 17. King Dushmanta, who never discharged semen without a result, placed his semen at night in the womb of his queen, Sakuntala, and in the morning he returned to his place. Thereafter, in due course of time, Sakuntala gave birth to a son. Text number 18. In the forest, Kamba Muni performed all the ritualistic ceremonies concerning the newborn child. Later, the boy became so powerful that he would capture a lion and play with it. Chapter 19. Sakuntala, the best of beautiful women, along with her son, whose strength was insurmountable and who was a partial expansion of the Supreme Godhead, approached her husband, Dushmanta. Chapter 20. When the king refused to accept his wife and son, who were both irreproachable, and an embodied voice spoke from the sky, Sisi Radha Gokulananda ki jai, Sitaran las Mahanaman ki jai. So when the king refused to accept his wife and son, who were both irreproachable, and an embodied voice spoke from the sky as an omen and was heard by everyone present. And finally, the last verse is the boy said, O Maharaj Dushmanta, a son actually belongs to his father, whereas the mother is only a container, like the skin of a bellows. According to Vedic injunctions, the father is born as the son. Therefore, maintain your own son and do not insult Sakuntala. So we are going to read again the translation. The boys say, O Maharaj Dushmanta, a son actually belongs to his father, whereas the mother is only a container, like the skin of a bellows. According to Vedic injunctions, the father is born as the son. Therefore, maintain your own son and do not insult Sakuntala. Okay. Okay, Hare Krishna, welcome everyone. Please, I will add the purple. Yeah. Okay, I will read the purple. One second. I will read the 17 to 21st with the purpose, which is not long, so we can do that. Thank you. Okay, so the purpose for the 21st is as follows. So purpose, according to the Vedic injunctions, Atma Vaiputran Namasi, the father becomes the son. The mother is simple like a storekeeper because the seed of the child is placed in her womb. But it is the father who is responsible for maintaining the soul, the son. In Bhagavad Gita, the Lord says that he is the seed-giving father of all living entities, Aham Bija Pradapita, and therefore he is responsible for maintaining them. This is also confirmed in the Vedas. Eko bahunam jo vida dati kaman. Although God is one, He maintains all living entities with the necessities for life. The living entities in different forms are son of the Lord, and therefore the Father, the Supreme Lord, supplies them food according to their different bodies. The small ant is supplied a grain of sugar, and the elephant is supplied tons of food, but everyone is able to eat. Therefore, there is no supply tons of food. Absolutely. Therefore, there is no question of overpopulation. Because the Father, Krishna, is fully opulent, there is no scarcity of food. And because there is no scarcity, the propaganda of overpopulation is only a myth. Actually, one suffers for want of food when material nature, under the order of the Father, refuses to supply him food. It is the living entity's position that determines whether food will be supplied or not. When a diseased person is forbidden to eat, this does not mean that there is a scarcity of food. Rather, the diseased person requires the treatment of not being supplied with food. In Bhagavad Gita, chapter 7, verse 10, the Lord also says, Vijam man sabha bhutanam, I am the seed of all living entities. A particular type of seed is sown within the earth, and then a particular type of tree or plant comes out. The mother resembles the earth, and when a particular type of seed is sown by the father, a particular type of body takes birth. Ya es la Prabhupada aquí, ya. Okay, so first I will ask for the blessing of the Vaishnavas, in order then I can speak something beneficial and give you some happiness. Thanks. Okay, so we see here in the chapter 9 that the king Dushmanta, he went to the forest and he just went for hunting, and he was stopping one of the hunt, and he saw a beautiful girl, and her name is the queen Shakuntala. So he has lusty desire, but because he was a Grihastha, follow the Vedic culture, he just wants to marry her. He wants to do properly. So King Dushmanta approached Queen Shakuntala, if you read in the beginning of the chapter, and started talking to her, and basically he wants to marry her. He didn't say directly, but you can see, if you read the purport of Srila Prabhupada, you will see that actually he means that he wants to marry her, and then she understood that she wants to marry her, so she spoke in a way that he can understand that she also wants to marry him. So they agree in that way, in that subtle way, and then in that night, as we see in the verse we read, I read again. So the chapter 17, it says, King Dushmanta, who never discharged semen without a result, placed his semen at night in the womb of his queen Shakuntala, and in the morning he returned to his palace. Thereafter, in the due course of time, Shakuntala gave birth to a son. So the king Dushmanta is responsible of his action. He is a king, so he rules a palace, and he is responsible of the population. He is in charge of that. So he knows that if he has this lusty desire, then he has to do properly. He has to follow the Vedic principle, the Vedic culture. So he married her, and then he engaged at that night, and then he returned to the palace. And then what happened next is the queen Shakuntala has a beautiful son who is empowered by the Lord. We will see that, what happened. So I would like to talk today. About these lusty desires. If you see, we have a very elevated person, is the King Dushmanta, and he follows the Vedic principle, everything, the Vedic culture, and still he has lusty desire. He is a jiva, as us, so we are all jivas, and we have these lusty desires. So I would like to talk about this. How the Gaudiya Vaishnava understand these sex desires, these lust desires. This explanation is based on Srila Prabhupada's teachings, the Pasacharyas and the Shastra. I'm going to divide this topic in four parts. So I will explain the original spiritual bliss. Where does this come from? Actually come from spiritual world, it comes from love, for pure love. And then we will see how love turns into lust, and then how we come back again, lust into love. And finally, when we are in the last stage, we still need to purify. So how we deal with that lust while one is gradually in the real cure? We are curing, but still we are in the last stage, so how we can fully transform this lust into love. Okay, so right. So let's start with the first part, the original spiritual bliss. Where is this desire? Where does this come from originally? This desire is the original spiritual bliss. It's come from the spiritual world. It's called Adi Rasa, the original spiritual bliss. So this is the pure love. Everyone is soul, and every one of us love Lord Krishna purely, but somehow or another, we come to this material world, so now we are covered by this material body. So the love of God is there in the heart, it's in a dormant state, but we are in the right path. We are practicing Bhakti Yoga, so that helps us to develop that love, to wake up that love. So in the Srimad Bhagavatam, Canto 1, Chapter 1, Verse 1, it talks about Adi Rasa, the reality. It says as follows. It's in the purport. It says, sex life is not unreal. The reality is experienced in the spiritual world. The material sex life is but a perverted reflection of the original fact. So what we experience here, this lust, actually is a perverted way of pure love. Because this is come from the from the soul. So that love is there, but this love is come up through the body, which is material, and it comes out in a twisted way, in a perverted way. But it bases it in the reality. So it's not something unreal, it's something come from the spiritual world. In the Chaitanya Charitamrita Madhya Lila, 8 verse 138, explain about Krishna is the real Cupid. He's saying this in the spiritual realm of Vrindavan, Krishna is the spiritual ever fresh Cupid. So the original Cupid, the original instigator of the romantic desires, is no other than the Lord Himself. So Krishna is, we will see later on, this is the spiritual Cupid, you have a material Cupid. But the original Cupid is the Lord Himself. Then in the purport of, we continue with the same verse, Chaitanya Charitamrita Madhya Lila, chapter 8, verse 138. In the same purport, Srila Prabhupada explains, in the material world, if one is sexually inclined and enjoys sex life, he enjoys something temporary. His enjoyment vanishes after a few minutes. However, in the spiritual world, the same enjoyment may be there, but it is never vanished. It is continually enjoyed. So we see, here we have this enjoyment, which is really short. Actually, is disgusting, it's not worth, and it's nasty, you know, many negative things you can find out from this desire and lusty things. But what happened in the spiritual world is totally different. It's so enjoyable, it's continually, it's ever fresh, always new, and new, and new, and new, and never ending. As Bhagavad Gita, Lord Krishna said in the Bhagavad Gita chapter 6, it's a boundless transcendental happiness. So it's never ending, it's going on and on and on and on. So actually this is what we are looking for, all of us. We want to be happy, and every one of us want to enjoy something natural from the soul. Is anyone here does not want to enjoy? Raise your hand. So you see, everyone wants to enjoy. Do you want to be happy? Raise your hand. Everyone wants to be happy. So it's natural for the soul. We are seeker, we are pleasure seeker. We want to be happy. We want to enjoy. That desire is natural for the soul. So the purport of Chaitanya Charitamrita Madhya Lila, chapter 8, verse 138, the same. Continue like Krishna and the Jivas both desire pleasure. So the Lord have the desire, thus has this desire to enjoy. He wants to enjoy. And for that, he has his potency. I will tell about that later, but he has the desire to enjoy, and also we have the desire to enjoy. What is that? What is the reason that he wants to enjoy and we want to enjoy? The reason is we are parts and parcel of the Lord, so we have the same nature of the Lord. So the Lord naturally wants to enjoy. So by nature, because we are the same in nature, we want also to enjoy as the Lord wants to enjoy. So every one of us, even if you are if we are in the material world or the liberated souls, everyone's wants to enjoy, has the desire for this pleasure. So the next part of Chaitanya Charitamrita, that's another one. Okay, so the purport of Chaitanya Charitamrita Adi Lila, chapter 14, text 29, he says that the Krishna and the Jivas both desire pleasure. The living entity is by nature full of an enjoyment spirit, as stated in the Vedanta Sutra. And the Vedanta Sutra is 1.1.12. It says, Ananda Majo Vijata. Vyasa, sorry. That means pleasure-seeking beings. The soul, by nature, is pleasure-seeking beings. We are looking for pleasure all the time. We always thinking, how can I be happy? You know, I want to be happy. Where is my happiness? Everyone wants to be happy. So he's looking for his pleasure. Unfortunately, the soul is looking in the wrong place, like looking for, in a material way, a big house, a big car, or good job. But nevertheless, that's the natural desire of the soul. The soul is seeking for a pleasure always. It's like, for example, in the military, they have some machines, and they heat seeking missiles. You know, the missiles. Yeah. So that machine is always seeking for these missiles. to counteract. If someone from another country is sending that missiles, so then that machine will send another missile or whatever. I'm not very expert of that. But just to counteract that. So it's seeking for missiles. In the same way, the soul is always seeking for pleasure. So now the next verse of Chaitanya Charitamrita Madhya Lila 8, verse 139, say like, Krishna and the Jivas both desire pleasure. The living entities, moving and non-moving, are part and parcel of Krishna. Therefore, they originally have the same kind of lusty desire as his. Okay, when he say here lusty desires, we need to understand that Krishna's desire are pure, and also all desires are pure, but now, because we are in the material world, the desires come out through the material body, through the mind, so these desires are perverted. But the original desire we have is to love Krishna, to serve Krishna, and see him happy. We are happy to see him happy. And now this is a very interesting verse in Srimad Bhagavatam, Canto 5, Chapter 25, and verse number 5. It's about sexual feelings in spiritual bodies. Now we have a material bodies, but our original body is spiritual. It says like that, when males and females touch each other's body, their lusty desires naturally awaken. It appears from this verse that there are similar sensations in spiritual bodies. All sensations original exist in the spiritual body. Srila Visvanatha Chakrabarti Thakur has commented in this connection that the word Adi means Adi Rasa, the original lusty feeling, which is born from the Supreme. However, spiritual lust and material lust are as completely different as gold and iron. So as I already explained before, the spiritual lust is pure love, and this material lust is come from the same, but it's perverted. So it's like gold and iron. So you just can't sell iron for the price of gold. So it's totally different quality. They are metals, but it's different quality because the situation we are now. So the next one is a lecture from Srila Prabhupada about Srimad Bhagavatam, Canto 3, Chapter 26 and verse 27. It's in Bombay, 4th of January 1975. And it's about we can kill desires. It's something nature in us, in the soul. And Prabhupada say, they say that you become desireless. No, that is not possible. How can I? If I become desireless, I become dead. So long I'm living entity, I must desire. I'm a living entity, so I must desire. I cannot check it. So we are living entities. If you cut your all desires, all feelings, just withdraw and then close yourself, you just become a stone. It's not possible. That's death, basically. If you stop your all mind activities, desire, everything, then you are no better than a death. So life means desires, emotions, actions. It's just part of us. You just can't stop all this. Is natural. So if you stop your natural way, then actually you are doing wrong for you. I mean, you are not helping yourself. You need to let it go in the right way. You need to direct in the right way. And we will see at the end what is the right way. In teaching of Lord Chaitanya 31, titled The Supreme Perfection, it say, "We cannot kill sexual desire because it is originally a spiritual urge." It say, actually, lust and the sex urge are there in spiritual life. But when the spirit soul is embodied in material elements, that spiritual urge is expressed through the material body and is therefore pervertedly reflected. One who actually becomes conversant with the science of Krishna consciousness can understand that his material desire for sex is abominable, whereas spiritual sex is desirable. So why is this abominable? This desire is abominable. And why the spiritual sex is desirable? So basically, if I give you the choice, and I give you gold, and I give you iron, which one do you take? Right, so everyone is looking for the best. Everyone wants to be good. So it's natural for us, we want to be good, we want to be pure. So, unfortunately, as I said, the situation we have now, we are in this material body. So these last desires come from the soul, which we can kill, because it's something natural from us, and then turn into abominable things come out from the mind and body. That's the situation we have. Yeah. Okay, so we read the next one. It's Srila Prabhupada's introduction from Krishna book about that we can kill the sexual desire because it is original spiritual urge. He said, "The sex feeling of the human society is original. It is not unnatural because the same sex feeling is there in the original personality of Godhead. The pleasure potency is Srimati Radharani. Factually, the attraction of sex or loving affairs on the basis of sex feeling is the original feature of the Supreme Personality of Godhead. And we, the conditioned souls, being part and parcels of the Supreme, we have got such feelings. But they are in a perverted minute condition." So we are souls, we are part and parcel of the Lord. We are very minute, we are very small, but still we come from the Lord, so we have the same nature. So that desire are there in the soul, so we just can kill that. So this desire is coming out in a twisting form. But we need to understand one thing. We can kill these desires. You can repress, you can do many unnatural things, but actually you can kill that because it's something natural. It will come out. Sooner or after it will come out. Si si Radha Goklananda ki jai, Sitaram Las Mahanuman ki jai. Okay, so let's say, okay, I'm going to try. You know, I'm fed up of these desires. It's no good. It's nasty. It doesn't help with me in my life, in my spiritual life. I'm going to repress them. So what will happen if you do that? Some people try, but there's some results. And it's not good results. So basically, if you repress your desires, then anger will come. It says in the Srimad Bhagavatam, Canto 3, Chapter 15, Text 31, that anger will come. It's called Kama Anujena, and is the younger brother of lust. So lust and anger are very close. They are brothers. So you try to repress lust, then the young brother will come, and then it will hit you. You will see that it happened in our society that we try to repress this lust because it's something, as I say, it's not good for us, it's not helping our spiritual life. So we try to repress, and you see that the mood of the devotee gets more anger and agitated, and that's one of the things that could happen. Another thing could happen, you can have a hard heart. So your heart becomes like a stone. You will try to stop all these feelings, all these eyes artificially, but then bhakti, you don't keep an open door for bhakti. Bhakti means you're warm, cheerful, and happy, you know, you have a good relationship, you're very friendly, but you have a hard heart. How you can be that? How you can follow this bhakti process? So these two things happen. It can be hunger, can be angry, hunger can come, or hard heart. And sometimes it's difficult for people to keep in one way, just all the time be angry. It's not good. Everyone, you know, you just all fed up being always angry. So then you sub down, and then you start being hard heart. But the same thing happens if you keep being hard heart, then at some point you will also fed up. You know, you won't see any exit, you won't see any open door. So then what do you do? You change from anger to hard heart, and then back to anger, and then hard heart. And then at some point, if you continue in that way, what's happened? There's a possibility of fall down, because you are not going anyway. You are not going any place indeed. And if you follow this way, so that's why we shouldn't repress this desire. We need to direct in the right way. We will see at the end how we can direct this one. But we shouldn't do that, otherwise we expose ourselves to fall down and having bad feelings, and that's something that we don't want. So, Srimad Bhagavatam, Canto 3, Chapter 1, Text 31, explain about Adi Rasa. What is this Adi Rasa? Adi Rasa is the Hadini potency of the Lord. So Hadini is the pleasure potency of the Lord, and is personified by Srimati Radharani, all the damsels of Braja, the queens of Dwarka, and so forth, the gopis. All these are expansion of Srimati Radharani. So this is the pleasure potency of the Lord. In the Brahman Sanhita, chapter 5, text 37, say as follows: the pleasure potency Adi Rasa, Radha, resembles Krishna's own spiritual figure and embodies the static potency Hadini. And Chaitanya Charitamrita Adi Lila, chapter 4, text 71, say, she is the personified Ladini Shakti, the pleasure-giving energy of the Lord's internal potency, and therefore she is the only source of enjoyment for Krishna. Okay, so the internal pleasure potency of the Lord, Lord Krishna, is Srimati Radharani, is the Ladini potency. So Lord Krishna experienced that feelings, that pleasure, when he united with Radharani, when they are together and having a pastimes. Okay, so we understand that. So Lord Krishna enjoy when he is with Radharani, his in internal potency, the pleasure potency. What about us? What about the jivas? How we enjoy? How we experience this this pleasure. So, in the Charichari Chanrita, Madhya Lila, chapter 8, verse 158, say, explain about how jivas experience the Adi Rasa. And Srila Prabhupada explained, the pleasure release By Krishna's pure devotee is also manifested by his pleasure potency. The Ladini energy gives Krishna pleasure and nourishes his devotees. So basically, we enjoy or experience of enjoyment also comes from the Ladini potency. It comes from Srimati Radharani. How does that work? So we are souls. We are parts and parcel of Lord Krishna, and we are connected. We always connected. But the only souls who enjoy this this potency, this pleasure potency, are the pure devotees, or are the devotees who are pure in love to Lord Krishna. So if you see, there is so many people suffering. Why they are suffering? Why they are not feeling this experience? Why they don't feel this pleasure as we feel? Because they decide to be not connected with the Lord. But the connection is there. Paramatma is in the heart. Lord Krishna, we left him, but he won't leave us, never. He's the Father, he loves us. Maybe the Son can leave the Father, but the Father never will love, the Father never will leave the Son. So we are eternally connected, and those who decide to love God, they will feel that Ladini potency. So how that exactly works? What is the process? How we can feel that Ladini Shakti? How we can experience this this pleasure? This lecture by Srila Prabhupada on Nectar of Devotion, it was given in Calcutta, 30th of January 1973. And explain how jivas experience the Adi Rasa. Devotees, as soon as they see a smiling Krishna, listen carefully, because this is a crucial point. This is really important. This is how we. This is the process how we experience this enjoyment. He said, Srila Prabhupada said in the lecture, devotees, as soon as they see a smiling Krishna, pleasing Krishna, they become pleased. They become pleased by seeing Krishna pleased. This is the main point. The devotees become pleased, or everyone who loves Krishna, become pleased by seeing Krishna pleased. This is how we enjoy, we have these feelings and pleasure through the Ladini Bhakti. When we serve Krishna, then automatically we have that feeling of satisfaction and happiness, and it's like the example given for the acharyas and the sastra. It's like the hands and the eyes enjoy when the stomach is fed, or the leaves of the tree enjoy when the root is fed. So in the same way, the jiva, when we serve the Lord Krishna, automatically we enjoy. Basically, we are designed like that. We are parts and parcel of the Lord. This is how we've been designed. When you serve and care, like for example, the hand is taking the food, putting it in the mouth, and it's coming to the stomach, automatically the energy will come at some point. Not quickly. At some point will come the energy to the hand, and the hand will have the energy to continue doing the activity. If the ham stops serving the mouth to feed the stomach, then what will happen? You're hungry, so you're hungry, what happened? What? So everything will stop, all the function of the body will stop. Then at the end death will come. So similarly, we feel happiness when we serve the Lord, when we care the Lord, when we see Lord Krishna happy. When Krishna is pleased, then we have that feeling of happiness and pleasure. There is another lecture by Srila Prabhupada in Los Angeles. It was in 1968, about how jivas experience the Adi Rasa. So Krishna consciousness movement is for approaching Radha Krishna to be associated with the Supreme Lord in his sublime pleasure dance. That is the aim of Krishna consciousness. So we are all devotees of the Lord. We are here in the Hare Krishna movement. We have one goal. The goal is just to reach this pleasure being there in the Rasa dance. I'm going to read again. Krishna consciousness movement is for approaching Radha Krishna to be associated with the Supreme Lord in his sublime pleasure dance. That is the aim of Krishna consciousness. Now, how the jiva can experience this Adi Rasa? As soon as it says in the Perfect Question, Perfect Answers, Chapter 5, and the title Becoming Pure, it says, as soon as you try to please Krishna, in any way, you can do kirtan, you can dance in the street, you can offer prasada in any way, or you can make garlands. As soon as you try to please Krishna, then you will have this feeling of pleasure, because then you show your love, then you are connecting and you show your love and care through actions, and then automatically will come this feeling of pleasure. So how do you even experience the Adi Rasa? So what is that means, please the Lord? What this really means, to please the Lord? You can please someone in many ways, but how you really please the Lord? What you do that Krishna is really happy, you really please Krishna. So when you unite the Lord with his Ladini potency, with his pleasure potency, that is the when the Lord is more happy. And we have this kind of experience in this life. So this is how Lord Krishna is most happy. So in this life, the experience we have, for example, if you have a friend and he's getting married and you go to the wedding, you see them so happy, cheerful, you know, they are going to have a new life, they're going to move forward. You see them so happy. How do you feel seeing them so happy? Atumali is your best friend. You see them happy. Atumali, you are so happy to see that he is happy. Or for example, if someone is looking for a partner, and then you help that person to find a partner, and then they like each other, they fell in love, and then they get married, then you have the same feeling. I mean, you were involved to helping them to be connected, and then you give them happiness just because you help them. So in the same way, when we serve the Lord, in a way, we bring the Lord to unite with his Ladini potency, his pleasure potency, then you will feel happy. You will experience this Adi Rasa. There is a song by Bhaktivinoda Thakur, Saranagati. He says, as I go to draw water from Yamuna, I shall cherish knowing the confidential mellows that unite the divine pair, Radha and Krishna. So this is how the Lord experiences the most pleasure he can have, by uniting with his beloved Radharani, his internal potency. But it's not only Radharani, we have Narayan and Lakshmi, we have also Sita and Ram. So this truth applies for all the levels in the spiritual world. It's not just the top. You can go to Vaikuntha, you will see that the devotees serve the Lord just to unite Narayan and Lakshmi. Also Hanuman, his only purpose was to unite Sita with Lord Ram. This is what gave him happiness. He was really happy by serving the Lord when by uniting Sita and Ram. Now you probably see the symbol Om. It's a sound vibration like Om. It's the vibration Omkara. If you see the symbol on the left side, it's like a number 3, similar like number 3. That's Radha. On the right is Krishna, and on the top is kind of a circle. That's the Jiva. So this is what we are meant for. We are meant for to unite the Lord with His pleasure potency. So we are meant to unite Krishna and Radharani. In the Bhagavad Gita, in the purport of chapter 12, verse 8, in the purport say that when a devotee chants Hare Krishna, Hare Krishna, Hare Krishna, Krishna Krishna, Hare Hare, Hare Rama, Hare Rama, Rama Rama, Hare Hare. What happened in that moment when you chant Hare Krishna? The Lord Himself is in your tongue. Krishna and His internal potency are dancing on the tongue of the devotee. That's it said in the Bhagavad Gita chapter 12, in the part 4, verse number 8. So this is the part 1, the original spiritual bliss. Where does this come from? It's come from the spiritual world. This is the good news that this last actually comes from love. Now, what is the bad news? How love come into last? Was how this get messed up? How is that happen? Now, instead of being Hanuman, who wants to unite Sita and Ram, we want to be Ravan, and we want to kidnap Sita to take her for ourselves. That's the bad news. I say, Srila Prabhupada explained in a lecture in Bhagavad Gita, explained this point, chapter 2, verse 6. The lecture was in London, 6th of August, 1973. It's a material sexual desire. Last, try to enjoy the pleasure energy separately from the Lord. Ravana's policy is to take away Sita from the clutches of Ram and enjoy. This is Ravana's policy. And the Hanuman's policy is take out Sita from the hands of Ravana and get her seated by the side of Ram. So we think, okay, so this is what happened. We see, we get pleasure by uniting Krishna and Radharani. We feel really happy. So why shall I do it in that way? I mean, he says, I want to get pleasure, but why in that way? Why not to take that pleasure for myself? That's when the problem comes. So once this happens, our desire are twists. And when desire are twists, then that love becomes lust. And that's when we accept a body. Because the body is made accordingly with your tendency of the mind. You have desires, now these desires twist. Now you want to enjoy the Ladini potency? Okay. So how do you want to enjoy? So Krishna is so kind, he's giving us the opportunity to enjoy the way we want. Okay, so you want to enjoy, I'm going to give you the body exactly the way you want to enjoy. But what happens when you have the body, we become a slave of our bodily senses, and we become entangled in so many relationships. So that's the problem we have in this material world. In the teaching of Lord Chaitanya, chapter 31, the Supreme Perfection, Srila Prabhupada explained, material sexual desire or lust. The material cupid increase the attraction of the external flesh and body, but the spiritual cupid increase the attraction the super soul exerts unto the individual soul. Actually, lust and the sex urge are there in spiritual life, but when the spiritual soul is embodied in material elements, that spiritual urge is expressed through the material body and is therefore perverted, reflected. One who actually becomes conversant with the science of Krishna consciousness can understand that this material desire for sex is abominable, whereas spiritual sex is desirable. So he explained the same, that this desire is changed, is twist. The desire is there in the soul, but what happened is we have the same desire, we want to enjoy the Ladini potency, but now we want to enjoy in a different way. But actually, we are not meant to enjoy in that way. We are not meant to enjoy in that way. We meant to serve the Lord, as we explained before, the sample of the hands feeding the stomach. That's the normal way for us. Okay. What he told me, I need to finish soon, so I'm going to quickly do a little summary. Okay. So let's do a little summary. So basically, we're showing that in this verse, we have a king, Dushmanta. He went to hunt in the forest, and then he was started go to have some. He went to a hunt and he saw a beautiful girl. It was the queen Shakuntala, and he had some lusty desires. Where these lusty desires come from? Originally, it come from the soul. Originally, it's a pure love, but then it twists. So how is that happen? So it happened because it's natural in the soul. But what King Dushmanta did, he did in the right way. So he married the queen, and he has a son. So basically, if we want to direct properly of lusty desires, in the Vedas are prescribed that there is proper ways to direct one. And I'm going to give you two main ways where you can direct properly these desires. One is in a renounced life. So when you use, you sacrifice yourself, your bodily sense, mind, you sacrifice all this, you follow celibacy, which is that's the sacrifice you do for the Lord, and that celibacy will bring you strength, intelligence, then that you can use to preach and move forward this Krishna consciousness movement. This is one way, that's the renounced life. And another way you can redirect properly this desire is in a married life. So in that way, you will expand your family, you will have children, and then you will educate them in Krishna consciousness. In that way, you will have some really wonderful children that you can offer to the Lord for His missions. So what is the sacrifice in the married life? So obviously, as soon as you have children, is responsibility. So that's your sacrifice for the Lord. You are responsible to bring up children in Krishna consciousness for the pleasure of the Lord and to spread this Krishna movement. So thank you very much. Do you have time for question and answer? Okay, only one question.